The 49ers are still licking their wounds after the loss in Minnesota. Debo Samuel has a new show that's, well, we'll talk about it. Plus, what does the 49ers offense have to look like going forward without Christian McCaffrey and without Debo Samuel? We'll get to it all on today's Stats and Cones, sponsored by BetUS Sportsbook and Casino. What is good, everybody? Welcome to another Gold Standard podcast on the Gold Standard and the Fans First Sports Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. He is Grant Cohn, joining us live from Levi's Stadium today. Grant, hello.
I figured I could just roll out of bed and stream from my den, or I could, you know, spice it up and give this show the type of pizzazz that it deserves. Give you the Gold Standard Network. And I just wanted to come through. So I caught the first train out of town, got down here, got a cup of coffee. Let's go. Ready.
Flex. That's great. Flex. Yeah, I'm just going to.
And I wore my little on-SI thing. So yeah, it's really official today.
Lot to get to on today's show. We'll talk about the Vikings loss, of course. Debo Samuel launched his new show yesterday. We'll get to that. Plus, what does this offense have to look like against the Rams? Let's start with the Minnesota loss, Grant, because you and I were, I mean, I was cackling last week. Couldn't wait for the 49ers to play this game. And other than Fred Warner and Jordan Mason, pretty much every single part of this operation looked overmatched in Minnesota last week.
Yeah, and like you and I totally wrote off the Vikings, mostly because of Sam Darnold, even though the Vikings beat the Niners in Minnesota last year. We disregarded that and said Kirk Cousins is gone, Sam Darnold's a bum. There's no way the Niners are going to lose to Sam Darnold, and they did. And what's crazy about it is that Darnold managed the game well, better than Brock. And everyone knows Brock's a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. So like the fact that somehow the Vikings were able to coax a better performance out of Darnold than the Niners were able to do with Brock, even though Christian wasn't out there, was, I'm not going to use the word alarming because it's week two, but troubling. And then to me, like the defense was worse than the offense. The Niners defense in this game was like, what's going on? You can't stop Ty Chandler. You can't stop Sam Darnold. I'm sorry. That was troubling too.
A lot of it was troubling. And some of the narratives I feel like that have come out of the game are troubling. People just don't want to say, for whatever reason, Brock Purdy didn't play well. I don't care that he threw for 300 yards. I watched the game. He didn't play well. He was uncomfortable. He was clearly shook. Like, he didn't know what he was looking at. Brian Flores ate Brock Purdy's lunch in that game. Brock was hesitant. He was double clutching the ball. It never looked easy, and it always looks easy for Brock Purdy. He did not play well, had two hideous turnovers. Doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback. Doesn't mean he can't play better next week, but like, people are having a really hard time just saying he didn't play well.
You know who he looked like to me?
Jimmy.
Yeah. Because he did. He didn't move. He didn't scramble. He hesitated. He didn't seem to understand what he was looking at. And he turned the ball over. He was a problem in this game. But he wasn't the reason they lost. But yeah, we're not used to seeing that from Brock Purdy. He has just been so consistently excellent and efficient his whole entire career. But I mean, you wonder what losing a Super Bowl is going to do to all these guys. Like, how does it affect Brock? And so far, he doesn't look like, now, to be fair, passing is down throughout the league, except for on like two or three teams. Mm-hmm. So maybe it'll come around. But all of a sudden, you start taking away the check down option. Now you're going to take away the big yak threat. He's going to have to drop back behind a shaky offensive line and push the ball down the field over and over and over again when he's not handing off. How's that going to go? So far, mixed results.
I don't know if teams are necessarily taking the check down away. I almost think Brock is taking the check down away. You know, Brock's nature is to be aggressive. It's to take doubles over singles. And I love that about him. And I think that's what a lot of 49er fans like, because there were so many doubles that were available that weren't being taken before. But I also think that can work against Brock a little bit at times. Sometimes he doesn't just do the easy thing. And when you're not quite sure what you're looking at, and teams are playing a lot of too high shell, which Mina Kimes had an interesting stat yesterday that basically after week one, teams are playing too high way more than they ever have. Like, they are trying to limit the big plays and the explosives way more than they ever have. They are forcing you to be patient. And I think sometimes Brock does get a little impatient. Like, he wants to make a play and he tries to force the action sometimes. And it may not be the best time to do that.
I agree. And I think what's also too bad is while Brock's in a little bit of a funk, if you want to call it that, and while some receivers are out, the Niners could be winning games just running the ball. Like, the Packers did that last week. They played their backup quarterback. They ran the ball as much as they freaking could, and they had multiple options. And they won. The Niners, they just have one guy, and Jordan Mason can only do so much. If they had a backup running back that they trusted and who was good, if Brock Purdy would scramble like 4 or 5 times a game, they could really run the ball 40 times a game and win these games early in the season while they're getting their passing game together. And I don't see why they don't have that. Like, if you have Patrick Taylor Jr. and Isaac Arendo on the roster right now, but you're not going to give them the ball when you need a backup running back, then why are they there? Why not go get Matt Breida or someone? Like, is it that hard to find a running back that you can give 10 carries to in this system? I don't think so. I think that would be something that the Niners need. Like, they put Christian McCaffrey on IR and they didn't add anyone to the freaking team. Get a running back, use him.
They don't do that. Even when McCaffrey was there and Elijah Mitchell was there and Jordan Mason was third string, Kyle does not do it. I don't know why. They gave poor Isaac Arendo one carry last week. He totally misread the play. Yeah. Could have like run behind Trent Williams and go to the left. Instead, he doesn't. And he just got absolutely crushed for like a no yard gain. And then they took him out. And
Kyle always says, like, our goal is to run 40 times in a game. Well, you can't do that with one running back. You need two or more. So it's not Debo. It's not Garendo. Is it Patrick Taylor? He hasn't gotten one. Maybe it's Patrick Taylor. I don't know. I'd like to see it, because right now I think that's how they could be winning games. They would have had a better chance to beat Minnesota if they had just ran more. They was working.
It was working in the first half. It wasn't working in the second half, to credit Minnesota.
And it's hard to run more when you can't convert third downs.
Yeah.
As Kyle would say, it's true.
He does like to say that. Why can't I think of his name? Jordan Mason. There we go.
Jeez. Yes.
8 carries in the second half. Half of those carries went for 1 yard or less.
Ooh.
So they were stuffing the running attack in the second half of the game. And then you're really up the creek, because if you're throwing incomplete on first down and you're getting stuffed for 1 yard or less on second down, you're putting yourself in third and long, which makes it harder to convert, which makes it harder to sustain drives, which makes it harder to run the ball. It all builds on itself. But I thought that was the biggest thing. I don't know what Minnesota did, because in the first half, the Niners ran the hell out of the ball. In the second half, they could not do it, and the offense totally bogged down. So credit to Minnesota, and the Niners got to be better.
Well, if you put 8 in the box, it's tough to run the ball, no matter who the running back is. I do think one thing that's nice about having Christian McCaffrey is what he catches so many passes, like at the line of scrimmage or behind it. Those are essentially extended handoffs. It's kind of part of your running game anyway, and it's a way to get your running back a little bit more space when people are trying to shut him down. And you can't do that with any running back as well as you can do with Christian McCaffrey. So it is interesting to see how his absence affects the offense. And I think it's clear that it impacts the passing game tremendously and the running game almost not at all. He's a hell of a running back, but so is Jordan Mason. Like, Bobby Turner can scheme it up. George Kittle can block. They can produce. But in the passing game, there's a whole domino effect. It's crazy.
Christian McCaffrey would not be the player he was if he wasn't so good as a receiver. And yeah, they are definitely feeling that.
They need a third down back.
Not Kyle Juszczyk, I'll tell you that. Nick Ellert, YouTube channel member for 16 months. Thank you so much, Nick. I appreciate it. Says, real discussion. Will Jake Brendel derail the season? He has struggled. I don't know if he's still dealing with knee issues. I know. I think it was Matt Barrows, I want to say, had a mailbag column where he talked about if John Feliciano can heal up and when he comes back, that may be a switch because he's got experience at center. And then, you know, you throw him in center and the line will be better. But Jake Brendel hasn't been great, but they've still been able to run the ball well for most of this year. So they've got bigger problems than Jake Brendel. I'll just say that.
Yeah. They have much bigger problems in the offensive line. What was, I think, so disconcerting about this game, too, like 6 sacks. But when you go back and watch the film, a lot of them are on Brock.
Yes.
In ways that, like, we've never seen him like this before. Like, he was completely confused in this game, and he ended up playing like Jimmy, running in circles.
He has two losses to NFC teams in his regular season career. Both of those have come to the Minnesota Vikings. So, yeah. And look, sometimes like there's just bad matchups for people, right? Like Bill Miller was an average major league player, but he owned Mariano Rivera. But sometimes
third baseman?
Yeah. Bill Miller was awesome against Mariano Rivera.
Did he play for the Mariners?
No, he played for the Giants.
He's in the Giants.
Sox.
And okay. So I was like, how do you remember Bill Miller?
Dude, I love baseball. Baseball is my favorite.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But like sometimes there are just guys that are just not good matchups for you. And I think it's clear, yeah. Like Brock Purdy really struggles against Brian Flores. And I'm sure the teams will try and copy that. And, you know, the Niners will have to come up with another plan. If Brock looks the same way this week, then we can have a real discussion.
All right. Can we now keep that same energy for Kyle?
Sure.
Like, yeah. Like, well, how about, can we say that Kyle has Brian Flores is a bad matchup for Kyle, that Kyle had a bad game.
I think
Kyle and Brock go hand in hand and like trying to separate them. It was the game we played with him and Jimmy. I don't really want to play that game anymore. I think Brock is much better than Jimmy. And to say that I'm not saying you said this, but to say that Brock was like 100% the reason that they didn't win this game is like, that seems biased. We got to talk about Kyle too. He was clearly outcoached by that tandem in Minnesota.
It has to go to everybody. You don't play as badly as the 49ers played without more than one person being responsible. It was no part of it was good except for Fred Warner, who was unbelievable, and Jordan Mason, who played just fine.
Yep.
And actually, Jordan Mason, I was nervous going in that maybe Brian Flores was going to put a lot on him pass protection wise, but Jordan Mason did a good job in pass protection in the game. Yeah. Other than that, like no part of it was good, because part of your responsibility as a head coach, Kyle Shanahan, is to prepare your quarterback for the scheme that he's going to face, particularly when you're the play caller. And it's clear that whether Brock wasn't prepared or whether he was prepared, but they did something different, they couldn't figure it out. They could not adjust to it. And that has to go on Kyle, and it has to go on Brock, it has to go on everybody.
Look, all I know is short week on the road. I don't think the Niners gave the Vikings the same amount of respect that they gave the Jets the week before. I know Nick Bosa said this team is better, but I was also in the locker room all week, and I don't want to call people out for stuff they said off the record, but there were a lot of like joking around about Sam Darnold and what they were going to do to him and what was going to happen. And I just don't think the Niners ever really saw this coming, that they were going to have to play their best to beat him. I think they underestimated Sam Darnold. And Sam wasn't the reason they beat him, that they lost. But, man, I mean, he played a lot better against the Niners than the Niners expected he would. And that 97-yard touchdown pass was just freaking embarrassing to give that up. Really embarrassing.
It was a hell of a throw by Sam, but yeah, it's absolutely.
Oh my God. Yes.
But that speaks to sort of a larger issue with the team, and one that I think has frustrated a lot of 49er fans. I mean, maybe I'm going to speak out of turn here, but I'm going to feel like I can speak for most 49er fans when I say that there have been too many times with this team where it's like, well, we didn't take this team serious. We didn't play hard. You know, we were smelling ourselves a little bit, like they admitted after the Cowboys win last year to go to 5-0. There's a lot of instances with this team where that seems to be the case. Perfect example happened yesterday on Debo Samuel's, the first episode of Debo Samuel's show. It's called Cleats and Convos with Bleacher Report. And they get asked by Liv Moods. She says, what is it going to take for you guys to get over the top? And BA says, you know, we all got to work hard and, you know, show up, basically.
Yeah.
And Debo says, yeah, I agree. We've been the best team for a few years now. And I'm sorry, 2 days after you get smashed by the Vikings, smashed by your backup quarterback, the year after you lose the Super Bowl, I don't think 49er fans want to hear you say you're the best team. You're not the best team. You're not. And until you stop acting like the uncrowned champion, things are not going to change.
Thank you. Well put. Because let's follow his logic. They've been the best team for a while now. So her question was, how do you get over the hump? Ayuk and Debo are essentially saying, what are you talking about? We did that years ago. We've been over the hump. We just have to stay over the hump. And it's like, well, how do you measure that? You don't have the most wins in the regular season over the last 2, 3, 4 years. You haven't won a Super Bowl. So are you just champions in your own mind? How do you determined that you're the best team. If you wanted to say we're clearly the third best team in the NFL over the last 4 years, I'd be like, yeah, I could agree with that. You're definitely the third best team, but are you even the second best team? The Bills have had a great record the last few years, and they haven't made the Super Bowl because they also lose to the Chiefs. So it seems like a silly thing to even try to argue and just win the Super Bowl, get over the hump, and then you don't have to have these conversations.
First of all, the best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl. Case in point, 49ers. Case in point, Eli Manning's New York Giants. They weren't the best team either Super Bowl that they won. They certainly weren't the best team the year they beat the undefeated Patriots. It's not about having the best team. It's right. about winning the Super Bowl.
There's no trophy for quote unquote being the best team.
Right.
There's no trophy for that. You actually have to prove it and finish. That's in life. In life, not in just football. You can't just walk around and be like, technically, you don't know it, but I'm the best person.
Right. It'd be like if I said I have the most successful 49ers YouTube channel. And you're
sitting here, like if you said you're the only unbiased YouTube channel on 49ers, yes.
Like, it's just objectively not true. And credit to Heinemann on Twitch. Shout out to the Twitch fam. Heinemann says, didn't Shanahan say it this offseason too? Kyle said, you know, he felt like they should have at least, I think he said, one or two Super Bowl trophies. And I feel like this attitude, it comes from Kyle, and it permeates the organization that, like, well, we haven't gotten it done, but we're still the best. And to me, that doesn't speak to, like, a hunger. Like, a burning desire to go get it. It's just, well, we're really good and we'll give it another shot this year. And it's like, I got to see more than that.
And the follow-up question, which she didn't ask, God love her, but the follow-up question is, okay, Debo, then why haven't you won a Super Bowl? And the Niners have been asked this question, and they always go back to stuff like, well, you know, it's not like other sports. You know, there isn't a seven-game series. A funny thing. So essentially, their attitude is, the only reason they're not champions right now is bad luck. And to overreact and change anything about the way they do football business would be wrong. And what they need to do is keep doing things exactly the same because they're the best team, not the Chiefs.
You never hear the Chiefs say that. They don't have to say it. Why? Because they have the damn trophy. They don't have to say it because they have the hardware, right? If you have to tell people you're the best team, you're not the best team.
You're not. Like
in Game of Thrones, any man who says, I am the king, is no true king.
I didn't watch that show, but I like that axiom.
You didn't watch Game of Thrones?
Dragons?
Well, House of Dragon, Game of Thrones, you didn't watch any of them?
I mean, if there's dragons in the show, I might opt out at this point in my life. When I was 14, I was into I liked a dragon.
Don't sleep on dragons.
JC Dragons, okay, fair enough.
Says, YouTube channel member, says, I used to hate Grant, but now I've grown to love his team criticisms. Where's Kinlaw? Kinlaw's in New York getting shoved around the field left, right, and center. That's where Javon Kinlaw is.
I'm not rooting against Javon Kinlaw, and thank you very much.
Geek Boy Mono says, Grant, you need to watch it.
All right, okay. That'll put that on my list of things I need to watch. On it.
It was pretty popular for, you know.
I heard about it. who ends up being the king?
Well, you're going to have to watch.
The little guy, right?
I'm not saying anything.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not saying anything. So, I understand why it rubbed people the wrong way. And look, even if you think you are the best team, you don't have to say it publicly, and you certainly don't have to say it publicly now at this particular moment. Like,
there's a way to prove that, too.
Right.
That's what the whole season is about.
So I totally get why people were mad. And
one more thing, too. It's a bad look that he's doing the podcast now that he's hurt. I mean, look, he had a deal with Bleacher Report, and I understand his business, but it's just, doesn't it come, it's like, hold on. You're talking, you're not playing, and you're saying you're the best team. Like, you're not even on the field. Maybe save this one for next month.
Yeah, that was unfortunate timing. I'm sure that they had planned to do it.
Of course, I understand. Like, life is unfortunate that way sometimes.
I want to say this too, because I didn't watch all of the show, and I've seen a lot of negative comments about it online. I've seen a lot of negative comments on it in this chat right now. Let's give it more than an episode. As someone that has launched shows and produced shows, it's very, very hard to do. And it takes time to sort of get comfortable and to feel out what works and what doesn't. Even TV shows, you watch one episode. You're like, how many times have you said, first couple episodes aren't that good. It gets really good later, right? So just let's wait.
I'm going to blame this one on Brandon Ayuk because he doesn't like doing interviews and his whole attitude is like, I'm too cool for this, which is fine, but that's not any way to have an interesting interview. So maybe if there's a different co-host, he'll bring out more of the entertainer side of Deebo Samuel, which I think exists. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Yeah, I think Deebo can be entertaining when he wants to be.
Right.
And I do think having the right mix there would help. Like, to me, if I was going to go to a receiver, putting aside Pearsall because he's like the newsiest part of this because of everything that happened, but just in terms of personality, you got to get Juwan on the show, man. Juwan is right. He's very enthusiastic. He's very outgoing. I think that would be a very good episode.
I agree. They didn't put him on the show because he didn't have the name value, but they bring in Ayuk and he doesn't want to talk. And you try to ask about the contract, which is old news. Literally no one cares about that anymore. And it just doesn't work. So yeah, Juwan would be a good one. Not Fred Warner. Love Fred Warner, but you don't want coach speak on a show like this. You're trying to get like personality. And maybe he can do it, but Fred Warner just seems like he's always auditioning to be the next head coach of the freaking New York Jets or whatever. Like, he's just such, he's D'Amico. He's Robert Saleh. And I don't know. You got to have someone who's a little bit more casual.
Would you be shocked if Fred Warner ended up being a defensive coordinator someday?
I expect it.
Yeah.
He looks like the next D'Amico, right? He's going to be the head coach of a team someday.
You see him show up to the post-game presser in like the three-piece. It was almost a three-piece suit if he had the jacket. He was very suave.
It's his team. And he knows it. He's the leader of this team. It's not Brock's team. It's not Bosa's team. It's not Trent's team. It's Fred's team. And everyone acknowledges it. And he earned it.
It's interesting.
What about the defense?
If you had to pick one guy, who would you put it on? That's actually an interesting thought. Yeah, I mean, part of it is
put it on him.
You have to be the outspoken guy. It can't just be who's the best player, right? Like, because Bosa's a really good player. He's not that kind of verbal leader like Fred is.
When they traded Trey Lance, who'd they send to the podium to talk about it?
I'm assuming Fred. I don't remember.
It was Fred. It wasn't Kyle. It wasn't John. It wasn't Jed. It was Fred. Fred. Like, what about? So, Fred, how'd you make this decision?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corey says, can I ask, if it turns out at the end of the season, Purdy is not a franchise quarterback and you can't tie the future to him, what do the 49ers do at quarterback? It's a very interesting question. Here's the thing. If they decide he's not the guy, and they don't want to pay him, they don't have to do anything. It's not like he'll be a free agent, right? Or will he be a free agent?
No, he won't be.
Yeah. So they can just try and do nothing. Now, I'm sure Brock is going to want to get paid. But it's not like they have to go out and grab somebody unless Brock just refuses to play, which I don't really see happening. So it's going to be an interesting situation. Kirk Cousins may be out there. Never know.
I was rolling my eyes at that, but then he did have a nice drive at the end of that game. Look, it seems like what you want to do is keep Brock Purdy. I don't think he's Jimmy. I don't think he's a mirage. I think he's a very good quarterback. But you also don't want to give him $60 million a year, obviously. Obviously. So Baker Mayfield's over here making $33 million a year. If you could offer Brock significantly less than $50 million a year, keep him. And maybe the way this season plays out, that's what his market will be. I know the market keeps going up and up and up, but a lot of these quarterbacks that get these contracts, the teams instantly regret it. Eagles got to be regretting it right now. I mean, the Jaguars, it's been a month, got to be regretting it. The Dolphins, I mean, no offense, but like, this has been an issue with Tua, and even without the injuries, he's not that great. The Giants, the Lions, I mean, over and over and over again. At a certain point, teams are going to realize like, this is not any way to build a team.
Hearing the Giants talk about Daniel Jones and Hard Knocks, where they were just, it was just like, but you could have seen all that coming. Anyway, yeah. So Brock Purdy, by the way, this is hilarious because it's Brock. If the 49ers cut Brock Purdy this year, the dead cap hit is $38,000. He makes no money.
That is so funny. He's like a clerical error on their team.
Right, exactly. He's like the money that Jed
York. How did you get here?
Right.
The door was open. I just let myself in and started playing quarterback. No one noticed. You guys seem like you needed help.
$19,000 if they cut him in the offseason. That's
like a walk-on. Is it the NFL version of a walk-on?
I don't think I've ever seen a dead cap hit that low. Like, I don't know if there's ever been one.
See, how about they just don't offer him an extension, or they offer him the Baker Mayfield deal. 3 years, $100 million. He obviously says no. They say, great, man, bet on yourself. Bet on yourself, buddy. Play out your rookie deal, and then we're going to franchise tag you once or twice. But, hey, I worked out for Kirk Cousins. Go call Kirk. He'll tell you all about fully guaranteed contracts. It might work out for you. It's going to be year to year. But I think if you bet on yourself, you really think you're that guy, this is the way to go, Brock. We support you.
And one of the narratives that I find frustrating or just incorrect is people are saying, well, now we'll see about Brock Purdy because Christian McCaffrey's out and Deebo Samuel's out. So now we'll see if he's not just, you know, a scheme merchant. It's like, well, hold on. He still has an all-pro tight end, a second-team all-pro wide receiver, and a guy that looks like he can be a very, very capable running back in Jordan Mason, to say nothing of Juwan Jennings, who's also a very solid player. But now people have decided that we'll see how Brock is without people around him. Like, it's just, it's weird how we come up with this stuff, but apparently it doesn't need to be based in reality.
I agree, man. My thing with Brock is I would like to see him. I feel like he's lost a little of his flair for the creative. Like he used to have a joy to the way he played. And I feel like Jimmy did too. And this year coming off a Super Bowl loss, there's so much pressure. He's playing for a contract. I feel like he's trying to earn it from the pocket and show that he can play the way Kyle wants him to play, that he could execute, that he has full mastery of the offense. Like, forget all that, man. You were better when you didn't know the offense. Like, trust your playmaking instincts because they seem like they were great. I don't think you're going to be, I mean, to just stand still and be the guy who, you're not Matt Ryan, you're not Tom Brady, you're not that guy. And I don't think they need you to be that guy.
I feel like he's moved around a little. He's had one really good scramble in each game. I'd like to see that a couple more times, just like 2 to 3 more times a game. Please do.
Maybe 4. Maybe 5. But yeah, sure. But I you look at the best quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes will scramble more than Purdy. I mean, Steve Young scrambled more than Purdy. Jeff Garcia scrambled more than Purdy. Like, why not, man? Just a couple more, 2, 3, 4 times. Those are, just 1 second, NFC Championship game. He scrambles 5 times for 50-something yards. Those were some of the biggest plays in the game. Mm-hmm. Then in the Super Bowl, Mahomes scrambles for like 60 or 70 yards. I mean, those were some of the biggest plays in the game. They're game changers. Come on, Brock. You got it in you. Trust your instincts.
He's done a couple of the things that I like is he does what Mahomes does when he scrambles, which infuriates me as a fan, but it works. He pump fakes. He makes moves with no intention of actually doing what he's bluffing.
Steve Young did that.
He makes moves with his body to make defenders change position or change direction, and then he goes right back to the run. Even he has no intention to do it, but he just gets that little second of hesitation and it frees him up to gain more yards. And when he has scrambled this year, he has not taken big hits. He has protected himself, which I love.
Yeah, I mean, again, in the Vikings game, some of the biggest plays were scrambles by Sam Darnold. And it didn't seem like he even was looking for it. It's just the Niners are just always create scramble lanes for the opposing quarterback, and Sam Darnold kind of stumbled upon him and repeatedly in this game. You'd like to see Brock, because he said after last year, I want to look, work on my running.
Yep.
Like, yeah, man, that should be a part of your game that teams can't stop. They're trying so hard to cover all these people across the field. Like they're not spying you. Go.
A couple of times they did spy him, which I think those playoff games like put teams more on alert. Like, okay, we can't totally, I think in certain situations they do, but there's going to be opportunities where he's got room to run and he should take them more. The run by Sam Darnold before halftime, I don't know if you've seen the like end zone view behind him. There was nobody, like no players, period. No Vikings players, no 49ers players. It was so wide open for Darnold on that screen. Like it was like a 20-yard run before halftime. It was crazy.
Let me ask you a question. How many elite quarterbacks in today's NFL don't really scramble? Like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning didn't really scramble. They were Hall of Famers standing still. How many guys are like that today?
Well, really, no one's. There aren't many of those guys left. Like Aaron Rodgers, maybe.
In his prime, he used to scramble.
Yes, and he moved around a lot.
Like Dak doesn't scramble that much anymore after breaking his leg. He's kind of stationary, although effort. You see how he does in the playoffs. I don't know. It seems like a part of the game you have to have now.
Steve Young talks about that all the time on KMBR about how like that's kind of the bare minimum. Burrow does well. He moves around a little bit.
I guess a little bit.
The last of a dying breed. Yeah. JCG1987 YouTube channel member for 7 months. Thank you. Will we get a repeat of weeks 6, 7, and 8 with the injuries? When they play like they played in Minnesota, they can lose to anybody. When you allow a blocked punt where your punter doesn't touch the guy that recovers the ball for some reason, when you turn the ball over twice, like Brock Purdy did, when you convert one third down per half, like the 49ers did, I don't care who you're playing, you can lose to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like a couple of things. Let's talk about their defense for a second, because I think that's more concerning. We're talking about Brock and Christian and Debo, but I think the defense has been more concerning. You give up 80 something yards on 10 carries to Ty Chandler. Okay, well then, are you going to shut down Blake Corum? Are you going to shut down Kyren Williams? Because if a big reason the Rams got destroyed last week is they couldn't run the ball. They haven't really run the ball yet this year. But if the Niners give them the green light because they can't stop the run, then it's a game. And it's a game in which they have the second best quarterback. So the Niners should win by a lot in this game. But we don't know if they're right. They shut down Breece Hall for sure. They shut down Nathaniel Hackett. This is now Sean McVay. This is a much better coach. So we'll see.
100%.
Yeah.
The Rams, both starting wide receivers are going to be out. No Puka Nacua, no Cooper Kupp. They have four offensive linemen on injured reserve. God. They have three corners on injured reserve. They have a safety that's set to join them on injured reserve. They're the 2029ers is what's happening to the Rams right now. If you don't look good, especially defensively against them, then I have real, real concerns.
It should be like a 30-3 game. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be, but it has the potential to be.
PJ Pluto says, I think Renardo Green and Malik Mustafa need reps. We won't have some certain players next year. And I think Collins is better than Hargrave. We got to step it up. It's funny because I actually thought Javon Hargrave played pretty good last week. I could be wrong, but I came out of that game thinking, man, I saw him get in the backfield a few times. It kind of made me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Feel better about him, but a lot of people have, including Brian Boulding, have kind of put a circle around Javon Hargrave.
I'd like to see Green and Mustafa, to PJ Pluto's point. I felt like they put in Mustafa for a few plays, and I thought he saved a touchdown. I don't know if you remember this play, but they pitched it to Ty Chandler, and he's like, looks like he's about to throw, and the guy on TV says, it's going to be a halfback pass. Well, if you go back and watch that play, Renardo Green is absolutely mugging the intended receiver. They don't call the penalty, and it's just a run. So that was a heads up play from Malik Mustafa. And I don't think Isaac Yiadom is good.
He allowed
might be right there. I don't know.
Three catches in the game. All three were third down conversions. He was clearly a target for the other team. Yeah. But like, you know, the Niners worked out three corners yesterday. They worked out Chandon Sullivan, Trey Herndon, and Danny Johnson. They all have in common, they all have extensive experience in the slot. If you sign one of those guys and throw them in, like, why not just play Renardo Green? Why not just play the guy on your roster? Why do we always have to go out and look for this veteran off the street and put them in the lineup? Like, you drafted Renardo Green in the second round for a reason. Throw him in there.
Well, I think they haven't said it, but I get the feeling they didn't. The experiment of throwing Renardo Green into the slot didn't work out the way they wanted, and they ended up moving him back outside halfway through camp, which to me is like a waste of time, dude. Like, your first instinct on the Niners' first instinct always is to draft a guy and move his position. Don't do that. You can move his position later on in his career. Like, get him comfortable where he's comfortable. And for Renardo Green, clearly that's on the outside. If Ike Yiadom keeps giving up conversions on third down, they gotta go to Green. And maybe they want to move Lenore outside and put someone else in the slot or have that ability. Fine. But
right.
Yeah.
Move Lenore in the slot and put Renardo Green outside then. Like, do that. I don't like this whole let's go sign this washed up veteran guy that one coach happened to like one time 3 years ago.
That's how the scout pitched it. Hey, let's go sign this washed up veteran guy that this one scout liked this one time. I think he'd be great.
I was like, do it. Work him out. Let's go.
When you put it that way, absolutely.
Helperman 123 says Brock isn't the biggest issue on the offensive side. It's still Kyle's play calling and the O-line are the biggest issue. What were the red zone play calls? I don't think the offensive line is as nearly as big an issue as people think. I think they've been okay. The play calling, I think that Kyle got in his own head a little bit when they were first and four at the 4 yard line and he passed it 3 out of 4 times. Like if Christian McCaffrey's there, there's no way to me he does that. But I think that he kind of got, you know, a little nervous about trusting Jordan Mason in that spot more than once.
I also saw a stat that through 2 games, the Niners are calling play action like 13% of the time, which is shockingly low. And then meanwhile, in New Orleans, like one of the few teams that's passing the ball well right now is calling play action like 51% of the time that they throw, which is strange considering Clint Kubiak was the Niners passing game coordinator last year. And now the Niners passing game coordinator is his little brother, Clay. So are they like two ends of the spectrum? One guy like wants to do play action. One guy just wants to drop back, or is this Kyle's tendency? Is Clay drawing up the plays and Kyle calling them? It's very strange because the Niners have always been such a play action team and they're running the ball well and not calling play action. Like what? I don't understand. I'd love to, I guess I can ask Kyle that question later today with my press pass. But he hates me, man. Like, can I just have a day where I go in there and ask Kyle a softball and just move on? No, I guess I can't.
So this is a trend with the 49ers. It's not just this year. And I saw the stat. I think David Lombardi had it that they ran play action 7% of the time last week. That was the second lowest of anybody in week 2. But the Niners have been using play action less. Last year, they were 27th in play action usage rate on early downs in the first 3 quarters, which, you know, the fourth quarter is kind of like situational. So it kind of skews those numbers. So a lot of times you look at the first 3 quarters, they used play action on only 29% of their attempts, which is kind of shocking to me because they run the ball so much. You know, you would think with a team that runs the ball so much, you would use play action more because it might be more effective. It worked last year. They scored 60 touchdowns on offense more than anybody else. So it worked, but they are using play action less. And I'd be interested to know why, because seemingly it makes your quarterback's life easier and it would be effective.
You know when this started? Super Bowl. They didn't do a lot of play action in the Super Bowl. It was a lot of 5 wide, empty backfield drop back. And it's like, what is this? Why? Maybe Kyle, I guess we got to ask him. Maybe Kyle feels that if teams are going to bring heavy pressure, that it's dangerous to run play action. Those are slow developing plays. The quarterback's turning his back to the defense. You can't really see where the pressure is coming from. And to be really responsible, you probably shouldn't put 5 receivers out in the pattern. You should go max protect, have a tight end or a fullback staying in the block. And Kyle hates doing that. He wants to have 5 guys in the pattern so he can use his genius. I don't know. Maybe he feels that against these pressure looks, it's best to just drop back and throw quick passes. Well, I'll ask him.
I would be very curious to know because I do think they're good at it and I would like to see it more because especially with the run game going as good as it's going now, you would think it would help. Herbie Holland, thank you very much for the super chat, says, I thought the offense was okay. Offensive line was okay. Need a championship defense if you can't get off the field on third down and your defense can't get a stop with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and you have defensive issues. That to me was the message that I've like, kind of crystallized for me. It shouldn't have taken this long for me, but it did. This is no longer a defense that can close out the game for you. The offense has to be the unit that closes out the game. The offense has to be the one that does exactly what the Vikings did against the 49ers last week. Go on that long march down the field, 6-7 minutes, and milk the clock, chip in a field goal that makes it a 2-score game. That's the unit that has to close it out for you, because this defense, we've seen now, whether it's because the defensive line can't get the pressure or the secondary can't cover, whatever the reason is, they're not to be trusted, especially in a big spot. You have to switch your thinking. It has to be the offense that does it.
We saw what the loss of Dre Greenlaw did to the Niners defense in the Super Bowl. It was night and day. They were doing a great job against the Chiefs. Greenlaw goes down. Chiefs start moving the ball, getting what they want. It seems like they haven't addressed that issue yet. They signed Devondre Campbell. Is he appreciably better than Oren Burks was in that game? Maybe, maybe not. It seems like they still have a big Dre Greenlaw problem, and he'll come back eventually. Will he be the same guy? I don't know, but it seems like this defense isn't the same without him.
Oh,
no matter who the coordinator is.
I mean, he's a friggin' monster, man. He's unbelievable. Go watch the Super Bowl again. The early part of that game, he is everywhere. It was unbelievable how fired up and how just all over the place Dre Greenlaw was. Miss you, Dre. Get back and get back soon. But yeah, I do hope that the defense that Kyle just stops thinking of his defense. It's like, oh, well, we can get a big stop when we need it. No, you can't. No, you really, really can't. So I hope he
with all the money you've tied into your offense now, all the guys who are getting paid big bucks, like that's the side of the ball that needs to determine the game. From Trent Williams to Ayuk to Debo to Juszczyk to Kittle, like soon to be Brock, that's the team you would. And Kyle, frankly, you, man.
Right.
Don't put the Super Bowl on Steve Wilkes' shoulders and then fire him. Like, it's on you.
I just think you can't count on that. And I don't know if that's part of the reason why Kyle was more aggressive going for it on fourth downs, which I loved. Please keep doing that, Kyle. But that's part of, I think, the shift that has to take place in your thinking. It's not just kick the field goal and, well, we'll stop them. Like, no, assume that you won't stop them and proceed from there.
You know what sucks about that, though, is that they went for it on fourth and goal from the two, didn't get it, and then they were down nine at the end. If they just kicked the field goal, they would have been down six, but then they still wouldn't have scored the touchdown because they never actually took a shot into the end zone. I asked Kyle, like, why'd you take a shot in the end zone that final series? He's like, well, if you just force the ball in the end zone, you're going to get intercepted. No, if you force the ball to Andrew Van Ginkle on a screen, you're going to get intercepted. Take a shot. You just gave a wide receiver $30 million a year. Isn't that what that's for? If the Buccaneers were in that situation, they'd take a shot to Mike Evans because he's freaking Mike Evans. I don't know. I thought that's what I was for.
But there's also, like, there are times clearly when Brock just decides he's going to throw a ball to a certain guy in a certain spot, regardless of coverage. He did it with Kittle at one point in the game. He threw downfield to Kittle. He was double covered. It was almost intercepted. The ball was right through the defender's hands, really. Like, I do think that that was not his best sequence from a time management standpoint. You know, their clock was running down. They threw that short pass to Debo over the middle of the field. I think that's the one he got hurt on. And like, you lost a lot of time on that just to throw a short pass to Debo. It's like, take a shot at the end zone. If it's incomplete, the clock stops at least, and you can get your bearings a little bit. It was not a great sequence there.
To go irresponsible speculation, it almost, like, the way Kyle handled that last sequence, it almost felt like he was more concerned with just getting a score so that he could finish the game saying that he lost by one score than to, like, actually try to do what it take to, like, get two possessions. Because there was no real attempt to save any time for the second possession.
I was actually thinking when they got down there, I was like, what if you kick the field goal now, right? You have to get an onside kick.
Whatever, right? 39? Do it.
Yeah. Like, because you have to get an onside kick anyway. So if you don't get the onside kick, it doesn't matter that you didn't go for the touchdown. You need two scores.
You have no timeouts.
Right. Do you kick the field goal and then hope to get the onside kick back? And then if you do, yes, you need a touchdown, but you also have more time to get the touchdown. So I don't know.
I agree. I think there were probably better ways to handle that. And the way they handled it probably wasn't in the top five best ways.
Yeah, it was not. It was suboptimal.
I think it was suboptimal. Yeah.
I think we could agree to that. So I hope they do use play action more this week. I think they will. I hope they will. To me, run the hell out of the ball this week, first and foremost. Secondly, get George Kittle the ball. You cannot feed George Kittle enough. Let the offense go through George, and then you can use Brandon Ayuk as a complement, and you can have an offense that's plenty damn good. Run the ball, play action, 85, and then you can take your deeper shots to Brandon Ayuk down the field. The Rams have not been good against receivers outside the numbers this year. I mean, because everybody on their freaking team is injured. That is the path to me for this week, and you can win the game, and I hope they do.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think last week, you and I especially did not take the Vikings seriously. We looked at their quarterback and said, there's nothing to analyze here, when frankly, best wide receiver in the league, two running backs, a really good defense, a really good defensive coordinator, and I think a really big home field advantage that all this played out last year. Like, we could have seen this coming. The Rams, right now, are as bad as any team in the league right now. I mean, maybe they're not as bad as Carolina, but they're just like one. They're down there with the Giants right now because they can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. They can't block. They can't catch passes. I mean, this should be a week where the Niners just make a team tap out early. I don't see how they could score more than 6. I mean, they can, but the Niners should feel like, we're not giving up a touchdown this week. We're not giving up more than 9 points this week. It's going to be that kind. That's what the Cardinals just did to the Rams. And I don't think anyone's ready to say the Cardinals are better than the Niners. So that's what the Niners can do this week.
Yeah, they
annihilation.
But if you throw an interception at your 10-yard line and you let a punt get blocked and you set the team up in short yardage, any team can have a nice play, like a blown coverage, and put the ball in the end zone and score. So it's like, you got to don't set them up in positions to succeed, because if you make them have to drive down the field, I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
Hey, it was, the way Kyle framed this lawsuit with the Vikings, like, well, you know what? When you get a punt blocked, when you have a couple turnovers, you're no good on third down, it's hard to win. It's like, that's the difference in the game. As if it could have been closer, or the Niners could have won if those little things hadn't happened. Like, yeah, but you could also look at it as like, if Fred Warner hadn't had like the most incredible forced fumble at the goal line I've ever seen, that's a blowout. So the Niners were close to getting embarrassed by the Vikings, and they merely got beat. Thanks to freaking Fred and his two turnovers that he forced, not just one.
It's a weird game where you could say, you know, if a couple plays go different, the Niners get their ass kicked. And you could say, if a couple plays go different, the Niners are winning.
They win. That's football. Yeah.
Slide 23 says, Kyle paid Brandon Ayuk $30 million. He needs to upgrade his usage. I want to also dispel a myth right now. Brandon Ayuk is getting open. They are not throwing him the ball, but it's not because he's covered. He's getting open. Watch the film. Like, these games are on tape. We can see the plays, even the plays that he doesn't get thrown to. He's getting open. So
yeah, at the same time, though, we don't know the progression. And I think Kyle needs to, like, well, he doesn't need to, but it doesn't seem like he's calling lots of passes where Ayuk is the first read and you see Purdy looking at him and then going elsewhere. You can see him open, but we don't know, like, is he one? Is he two? Is he four? I guess only the Niners know that. But I don't think the answer is, okay, Debo's out, Christian's out. We're going to call 15 plays where Ayuk's the primary target this week. Like, nah, Kittle's doing better than Ayuk right now. Jennings is doing better than Ayuk right now. Feature them and then keep bringing Ayuk along slowly, because he missed the entire freaking offseason. And just giving him a lot of money doesn't mean he's ready. But yes, I'm sure he was open a lot.
I'm just wanting to see George Kittle get the ball more, because I always want to see George Kittle get the ball more. I continue to say it. And I just think that he's harder to stop than Brandon Ayuk, because you can throw it to Kittle short. He could rumble for a hell of a lot of yards.
He's a better yak guy.
Yeah, yeah. I always want to see 85 get the ball. And by the way, you mentioned the yak. Can we get back to that, please? There was like no yards after catch against Minnesota, and really not a ton, I felt like, against the Jets either. And part of that is Brock needs to be more accurate with his ball placement, but we got to get back to the yak, because this whole team is full of those guys. It's designed that way for a reason.
Well, not anymore, though. And that's what's going to be so interesting about the next few weeks. Without Christian, without Debo, you got George, but Ayuk is not a yak guy. This is going to put, I mean, obviously it puts a lot of pressure on Brock. Everyone's talking about this, but like in a different way. Like, you are not going to be able to just feast off yards after catch. And we know you don't only do that, but you do benefit from it, because that's how the Niners are set up. So what does your passing efficiency look like when you're throwing to receivers who catch the ball and go down most of the time?
George is a yak guy. Juwan Jennings is a decent yak guy. Brandon Ayuk led the country in yards after catches last year in college. He hasn't been as good at that, but I feel like they've used him. You know, the deeper you're targeted down the field, the less yak you usually get. And I think that part of that is mitigated by the fact that he's being used deeper down the field. But they can't. They certainly have enough guys. The issue is not that they don't have enough guys. They have plenty of guys to be able to put together a great offensive game plan. And we'll see if they do it against the Rams. Crazy thing for me, I guess it's not crazy, but despite the loss, the Niners are still favored by 7.5 points on the road, as we check the BetUS website.
They should cover that, because it's a home game and the Rams are really, really bad right now. Really bad.
They should cover it, really. I mean, there's no reason not to. I know I said this last week that I thought it was easy money, but
who's the second best healthy player on the Rams right now?
I was just going to say, like, that's the thing. They're so banged up. It's not me trying to crap on the Rams saying they're not a good team. When you have this many injuries and cluster injuries on the offensive line, like they have, and in the secondary, like they have, no team has four good corners or six good offensive linemen.
No, I honestly can't. Kyron Williams is having a terrible year. Their number one receiver right now is DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, this is like facing the freaking Giants right now. This is exactly what the 49ers need. And I think just beating them, like struggling to beat the Rams, would be fine, but like really beating their ass is possible and is what the Niners need.
I almost wouldn't mind a struggling victory, because then they'll stop them from thinking like, oh yeah, we're good again. We fixed all our problems. Like, survive in advance has been my theme for this season. It will continue to be my theme going forward.
But real quick though, because last year with the Eagles, they were doing a lot of that, like surviving. And then people were saying, well, they're not in a Super Bowl hangover. They're technically winning, but you could kind of see it. They weren't the same team as the year before. And then it all fell apart. So that's kind of one thing I'm looking for with the Niners. Like, yeah, squeaking out these wins. Like, are you dominant? You were dominant last year with certain stretches where you had injuries. Is that still in you?
I don't know. I always like to see them look dominant, of course, but the bare minimum has to be the victory, just like the bare minimum for you has to be winning your bet. And if you're going to do it, go to betus.com, place your bet. You can receive 150% on your first deposit, 125% on your second and third deposit, up to $2,000 with code YouTube150. That's code YouTube150. And don't forget, with BetUS, you get your very own personal account manager, fast and easy deposit and withdrawals, fastest payout in the industry. Go to BetUS.com. I promise you will be better off and you will enjoy the experience.
Looking at a stat right now, Purdy's had 3.27 seconds to throw on average last week. He was just confused. He was just confused. And maybe that's 100% on him. Maybe that's on Kyle too, but wow. For someone to have your number like that in the NFL is wild.
Brock is still a young quarterback, and you know, it's, you can still get confused, and that's one of the more confusing schemes in the NFL. So it's okay to say it. We can acknowledge it. Smiley One says, what's the over under for the game? It's 43 is the over under. So
and there's 7 points. So they're supposed to win like 24-17, something like that.
Yeah.
25.
What I said after the game, just control the things that you can control, right? Don't give up the block punt. Don't turn the football over twice. If you don't do that, if the Niners end every possession with either a kick, a field goal, a point after a touchdown, or a punt, they're not losing to the Rams this week.
Sure. And something just occurred to me, though, that the problem with losing Debo and Christian at the same time is, let me just get this stat up. So last year, touchdowns, Christian at 21, Debo at 12. So that's 33 of the 60 touchdowns they scored. More than half. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of points. I mean, Ayuk had 7, Kittle had 6, Jordan Mason had 3. They need to figure out how they're going to get in the end zone. I mean, extending drives has been an issue already. Now they got to figure out how they're going to get in the end zone. And if this is a field goal fest, then the Rams will be in the game.
Run the hell out of the ball. Run it. When you get to the red zone, run it. Who cares if they stack the box? Run the damn ball. That's what I want to see.
I want to see Jacob Cowing involved in the offense. I want to see that. He was really good in the preseason. Kyle Shanahan doesn't trust rookies, man. He has young players on the team who are consistently ready to go and could be productive. And he has to, like, someone has to get hurt for the guy to get on the field. Jordan Mason is a classic example. The Niners never would have figured out about Brock Purdy if Jimmy Garoppolo had just stayed healthy. This is the opportunity to play Jacob Cowing. He could make the offense so much more explosive. It's a slow offense. It's methodical. Get that dude on the field.
I would like to see it, certainly. Like, you're telling me it doesn't have to be all the time. Right. But there has to be a role for him. There has to be. He's super fast. He looks like he's a pretty good route runner. Like, do it. And by the way, I don't want to see this because I saw this in a column this week. Oh, well, Jacob Cowing fumbled that punt return. But that's it. Got to get Trent Taylor here. Got to call up Trent Taylor from the practice squad. No! Trent Taylor.
Did Kyle Shanahan write that? Did Kyle write that? Did he ghostwrite that?
If I see Trent Taylor on the active roster, I swear to God, I might just drive to California myself and scream at Kyle Shanahan. Like, Trent Taylor stinks, okay? He's not a good player. He's not. That's why nobody else wanted him. Nobody else wanted him. He fumbled at a higher rate last year than Ray McCloud did. So the idea that Trent Taylor is this, you know, guaranteed no problems on special teams is simply untrue. And he provides you nothing as a wide receiver and nothing as a returner. No. Let Jacob Cowing do it. He'll be just fine.
I think that's funny that the Niners have basically been the best team in the league for the last few years, but they still can't find someone who can just catch the ball on punts. That's too hard. They can't find that guy.
Ezio Sanchez says, I have a feeling Rob bet the Vikings ML last Sunday. What's ML?
Moneyline.
Oh, moneyline. Yeah. No, I bet the Niners -6, and I was cackling, thinking that I had it like money in the bank, and I donated to the casinos on that one. Sly 23 says Kyle barely trusted Pooney. I think you could make the argument that Kyle would not have given Pooney nearly the snaps and the opportunity that he had if everybody else had been healthy. But remember, Feliciano got hurt and Burford got hurt. So he had no choice.
That's the only time he plays rookies. And if Feliciano comes back and Pooney has a bad game or a quarter, all bets are off.
I really hope that they give Cowing a shot as a receiver in the offense. Let's just see what he can do. It's not like if you throw,
we've seen it,
Jacob Cowing out there, that all of a sudden, like, it's going to be a disaster. It's not like all these veteran guys that he likes to play don't make mistakes. They do. They make mistakes. So, like, the thing that he's trying to avoid sometimes still happens, and I think he sacrifices the potential and slows down definitely the development of those players.
Yeah, and like the Niners have lost their targets behind the line of scrimmage. You want to be able to attack defenses at four levels, right? Deep, intermediate, short, and behind the line of scrimmage. Like, where is the screen game coming from now? Mason? Mason could do a little bit. Actually, I think they should throw to Mason a little bit more. I think a screen to Mason would be really tough to stop, but you're not throwing that to Jennings, maybe a little to Kittle, not to Ayuk. Like, Cowing can replace so much of what Debo did in a different way, but I think that gadget player that the Niners thrive with, he can give him that. I think he could be so much more effective than Ray-Ray McCloud was in the past in that role.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wears 19, oh my goodness, he might just take Debo Samuel's job. Took his number.
It's messing with my mind. I don't like it. Like, it's, I have not gotten used to that yet. And by the way, can you stop with the targets for Kyle Juszczyk? I don't want to see a screen to Kyle Juszczyk ever. For no reason do I want to see a screen to Kyle Juszczyk. The only target Kyle Juszczyk should get is on that rail route down
the side.
When he gets open, which Kyle seems to be able to get him open whenever he wants. And it's awesome when they do it. It's great. That's the only target for Juice I want to see ever. Stop it with him.
Was he the target on the interception?
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
Right over the middle.
You should never, ever, ever throw a contested pass to Kyle Juszczyk. Ever. Right.
And it was bad, too. If you watch it, I don't know if he's a linebacker or safety. I think it was number 41, I want to say. He's just chilling right there, and he's just waiting for Brock to throw the ball. And the second Brock separates his hands to throw it, he comes right in.
It was a Jimmy play, man. It was a Jimmy play.
Yep. He had
it was a Jimmy play.
Time.
And people forget how quickly, like how high Jimmy stock was and how quickly it fell. I think people forget and don't think that couldn't happen to Brock too. It's happened to a quarterback already in the system who's a whole lot more handsome than Brock. No offense, Brock.
And who got paid.
Exactly, dude.
He is more handsome than Brock.
He is.
You gotta
more handsome than me, too. I mean,
he's more handsome than like 90% of the people on the friggin' earth. There was a minute where I thought the Niners were going to face Sam Darnold and Jimmy Garoppolo in back-to-back weeks because Darnold got banged up at one point, and I was like, Stafford got banged up, and I was like, is this really about to happen?
Maybe Stafford throws a couple picks early in the game, and they have to go to Jimmy Garoppolo. That would be fun.
Fresh off his PED suspension.
Well, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You get better PEDs. That's all I'll say. Because clearly they weren't working for you.
Honestly.
That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Please rate, review, and follow the Gold Standard Podcast Network wherever you get your audio podcasts. Like and subscribe to both YouTube channels, the Gold Standard YouTube channel and Grant Cohn's YouTube channel. You will be a better, smarter fan.
Thank you.
Is that true?
It's 100% factual.
That's all we give you on this show is 100% fact. And before we go, just shout out again to BetUS. Thank you for sponsoring this video. Once again, if you'd like to sign up for BetUS, use promo code YouTube150. Enjoy the game, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Good show. Send me the audio and the video when you get a chance. You're muted, but you're also handsome.
For some reason, the live stream is not ending. So shout out to everybody who's still watching. I can't end the show.
Wow. Never mind.
StreamYard is not letting me end the program.
Troubling. StreamYard, this is our nightmare.
I'm going to leave the studio. See you.
fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.